Hello, everyone. Amber Irwin here with Social Speak Network, and we help people thrive in their business, whether they are wanting to start a freelance business and just need a little bit of motivation and inspiration, or if they're wanting to put those systems and processes in place to really elevate their freelance business. So today we have Miss Bella with us, and I'm so excited. Welcome, Bella.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do. I'm excited to hear your story.
Yeah. Well, it is definitely a big story. So I hope everybody's sitting down right now. Long story short, in 2002, my parents wanted to give me a curfew when I was in college. I wasn't down with that. So when I got an opportunity to sleep over someone's house with their two white dogs and get paid for it, I was like all game. 2 years later, I graduated college and I had all these clients, and my parents told me, you should get a real job. Well, I kind of took that as a challenge. And what I did is I made that into a real job, a real six-figure, 10-employee, nationally and locally award-winning company. And I built it over 14 years from the time I was 21 until the time I was 34. And during the course of that time, I started that company on accident. And 5 years into it, when I was nationally and locally award-winning, people started asking me, hey, how do I do what you do? I want to do that. And so I organically started coaching and speaking life into these people and realized that that's my true, true passion in life. So I was simultaneously doing two companies, all the while dating everyone on Match.com in my area in my 20s, because my top job was going to be being a wife and a mom, but I just had to find Mr. Right.
Yes.
Well, when I was 31, that did happen. He actually found me on Match.com. We had a whirlwind romance, got married about a little over a year after meeting each other, because by that time I'd done enough market research to know that he was the right one. Yeah. And so we got married. We got married in two countries, here in Arizona and then also in Europe, where he's from, in Macedonia, 1 week apart. Honeymooned in Rome, came home, found out we were pregnant. And then 6 months later, we had a baby. For those of you who are excited about the story, catching up, 6 months, yep, we're supposed to cook a baby for 9.5 months. And since we're talking to mamas, they already get that. Sometimes I have to slow that part of the story down for the...
Like doing the math in their head. I don't think that's...
Yeah, so Olivia was born July 2014, and she was one of the 50 smallest surviving female babies on the planet. She was 12 ounces. That's the size of a soda can. She was 10 inches long, which is 1 inch shorter than a Barbie doll. And her leg fit through my wedding ring. We were in the hospital for 6 months while I was coaching and running my six-figure pet sitting company. And about a year after that, once I got through my PTSD, anxiety, depression, nightmares, and did a lot of EMDR therapy, which I highly recommend for anyone who's ever had trauma, I kind of came out of it. And I sold the pet sitting company just like I always planned to. And now I am coaching and speaking life into lots of different people and traveling around the country speaking to large audiences about anything. But my true passion, and the reason why I'm so excited here to talk to you, is because I want to encourage mamas to build their business catastrophe proof, because we're the glue. We're the glue in the nucleus of our family and the entire world, right? Yeah. And there is going to be a time, hopefully you never have my experience, but when something makes you or someone you love, you want to step outside of your business and go take care of it and still have your business to come back to.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm excited to be here with you today.
I love it. And that is, I love hearing stories about this, because if you were in a corporate job and you were tied to a cubicle and you were 3 months early, there's no way you would have lost your job. You would have, I mean, some companies would have helped, but majority of corporate would have been like, sorry, see you.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Amber. Being in NICU for 6 months, 182 days, I saw the gauntlet of different types of situations. Yeah. And some of it just was that. One of the things I truly do believe, and it's scientifically proven, that helped my daughter grow is this thing called kangaroo care. And it's when you lay skin to skin. Yeah. And the mama regulates the body temperature, the heartbeat, and even helps like prevent, it's so bizarre, but it helps prevent infections too. And I was able to be there for 8 to 10 hours a day, every single day for 6 months. And you're absolutely right. If I was in a corporate job, I would have to be choosing, when do I take maternity leave? When I bring the baby home?
Yeah.
If I bring the baby home, I didn't know for 2 months that she was going to survive even after she was born. It was horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're like, do I take my leave now or later? And ladies, this world is way too easy to start your own thing if you can just be fearless.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And so, okay, oh my gosh. So where do we start? So your parents had given you a curfew, and at that moment, something fell in your lap, and you decided, rather than just watching one friend's house and their dogs, that you were going to take this into, you know, a business at 21 years old. So were your parents corporate? Was that like ingrained in you? Like, this is what you need to do. Like, how did you figure out, like, I can make this a business?
So it's such a great question. My parents are very, hardworking middle-class family, who keeps jobs for a very long time. I was told since I was born, you're going to college, and half of your birthday money goes to your college fund. Half of your paycheck goes to your college fund. It was very, very important, in my family. That being said, something that I've organically done on and offline that's really tremendously helped me, and I didn't realize it until the last maybe 5 years, is a thing called social media and Facebook groups. And back in 2012, I actually started a couple of Facebook groups because I was unhappy with the communities that were out there. Right. Now, prior to Facebook in 2008 and all this stuff, one could say, you know, face-to-face networking. But a lot of people are more apt to do it online now. The biggest, most single important thing that I've done is build community, because you can't sell anything to anyone unless you have a community to sell them to.
Yep.
And you need that email list. You need that common place where people are gathering up, because if you're just shouting from the rooftops to anyone that's going to hear you, it's going to be really hard. You don't have an audience, right? So through Facebook groups, Amber, I've really been able to, I've created funnels, I've monetized them, I've created safe places, I've really niched them down. So where, for example, in our industry, people have like a pet sitting group, you know, professional pet sitters plus.
Yeah.
I'm like, I own a pet sitting company with staff. So I'm not just taking, you know, pet sitters and dog walkers, but I'm taking the ones that are scaling their business and bringing on employees and talking specifically to their challenges and successes.
Okay. So when you, okay, so when you were doing this, I mean, this is all self-taught. How did you find those resources? What, I mean, obviously when you're younger and, you know, in your 20s, because I started the company when I was 22, almost 23. So some of those things just kind of come naturally, but did you find yourself like knowing that you needed these things and then finding the resources to help implement them?
Yeah. So two major points here: never be the smartest person in the room. Always be the one that's learning. Ask for help and mentorship from people that you admire. But on that same boat, all that glistens isn't gold. More and more and more online these days, people are fronting that they've got all this stuff, but back home, they got no money in the bank account and they're emotionally and family bankrupt, right? And I think it's so important to really follow people, really get to know them. Are they only posting their good days, or are they posting with, you know, no makeup and like doing their hair? And you know what? Today, I just don't want a mom. Today, I just don't want to adult. I want to sit in bed with Chipotle and watch Netflix and throw my phone in the pool. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
We got to be real with each other, because it all happens. Some days you just feel like a horrible parent. Some days you feel like, why me? You know? Yeah. And I think it's really important. I think you said, you know, how do I learn this stuff? You got to find the people that you want to be like, that you look up to, that have proven to you that there's depth to them, you know, that they have challenges. They're not only posting the happy stuff and they're not only posting the business stuff. Because right. these days you have to be transparent. Yes. If you follow me on Instagram right now, you'll see me in my pajamas. You'll see me with no makeup on. You'll see me with my fake eyelashes hanging off my eyes last night as I got back from a conference after being on a plane. I mean, you'll see the whole thing. And I think that's important, you know?
Well, I think that that's something like, especially for women, I mean, this is something that we, you know, preach to our clients is be you. Like when we started social media management back when Facebook started, everyone was like, I don't want my personal stuff on my business page. Like we need to keep it so separate. And the more that social media has evolved and we've evolved, I'm like, no, you are your business. Like when you're out at the grocery store, if you know, you're, let's just say you're a real estate agent, you know, who that person is, who you meet at the grocery store, that needs to be that same person online. And I think that, you know, we're really kind of getting back to our roots of doing business with people we know, like, and trust. And being authentic is key. And when you're working for yourself, you don't have corporate to fall back on. So it's important to show the ups and the downs. And I follow a lot of people and I'm always like, is their life really that good? You know, like, because it isn't anything negative. And not saying you have to, you know, complain all the time, but being authentic is huge when you own your own business. People will like it.
On the same note, oppositely, so I have friends and family, obviously, like on the East Coast, and I was there this weekend, and I prefaced it by, guys, I don't want you to think that like I'm so self-absorbed or obsessed with myself, because they're like, there she goes again, like, we really don't need to know that, you know, whatever it is that I was telling them on Instagram. I use Instagram stories as like the behind the scenes. Like you won't get that same info as my Jump Consulting Facebook page, right? But you might get that on my Bella Vasta page. But anyway, so I told my family, I was like, guys, I'm really not obsessed with myself this way. I just know that my community enjoys seeing and coming along with me on these little things. It makes them feel closer to me. It accomplishes exactly what I just told you, Amber, of who is the real Bella, the unpolished Bella, the there's perfection in imperfection, you know? And again, your Facebook groups, that is like, it's a place where people feel very safe, like they belong. Everyone wants to feel like there's a place of belonging, but it's a place where you can be vulnerable and let those guards down. Mm-hmm. I go live in my Facebook groups weekly, but I don't always have hair and makeup, but I will if I'm on my Facebook page or on my YouTube channel. Right.
Yeah. So there's it's kind just of a different
a balance.
Exactly. Yeah. And finding out what your audience, you know, being able to relate with them and connect with them on those, on that deeper level. And it's not always, you know, I learned this when I went out on my own, and this is something we always talk about. It's like when you go out on your own, like you're stepping out into being the person you want to become. And you don't have to, I mean, if you want to dress up, dress up. If you want to, most of the time I'm just in shorts and a tank top or a cute shirt because I live in Florida. It's hot. I don't want to get dressed up for one. I'm like, you know, if you don't like the way I dress, I'm sorry, but it is, you know, my hair is like this all, but it's just about being you and being able to, when you do post those videos in there, your audience loves it. They're engaging. They, like you said, they feel comfortable and they're asking questions, and that's huge.
One of my most popular topics is my hair. And it's not because of me, it's because of everybody else. So I said, okay, I'm going to run with this. And if you think about it, like 75% of my audience is women.
Yeah.
Are women, and they're pet sitters and dog walkers. A lot of them are mompreneurs, you know? And so I'm like, all right, cool. Well, I'm going to share this, but I'm going to mount my phone to my mirror and I'm going to get my straightener out and I'm going to straighten my hair while I talk to you guys. Do you know all the comments were all about my hair? Nothing about building your business, and that's okay. So occasionally I'll do that because, you know, there's that human side to it. Today I was like, I just came from the East Coast where my hair doesn't curl.
Yeah.
I feel you, girl. I feel you. And then I came back to Arizona where I have no humidity, which is great. But it's just being, like you were saying, exactly what you're saying, Amber. And I love it. Being authentic. Just being yourself. And I think that's hard for people because I think a lot of us are trying so hard to be somebody else that we don't stop long enough to figure out who actually are we and what do we want to project out into the world? Because you have to be intentional about it.
Totally. And you have to not, I think, you know, as women, we're always, especially, you know, being motherhood was a whole new thing. Like,
yeah,
you
know,
pre-child, you're confident, you're, you know, you got the whole world at your fingertips.
You got the sexy.
Yeah. And then you have a child and it changes, because it's not that you fall out of love with yourself, but you're wearing a whole different hat. Am I doing this right? And that whole piece of judgment comes in. And I think that is what holds moms back, because they're comfortable with being at home and they're fine with running the kids to school. And I love that, but it doesn't feed their soul. Like, is that what they want? And they're afraid of that judgment. So how do you get over that? Like, what, you know, what would you,
so let me a couple things just came to mind.
Yeah.
One, breast pumping. Two, taking Olivia to school. Okay. Those are the two things I'm going to tell you. So I was at this conference this weekend and I walk into the bathroom and there's this gal looking totally annoyed, but, you know, happy she's doing it. And she's pumping. And I walked in there, I gave her a high five. I was like, you go, girl. And a couple other people were saying the same thing. Like, those men, they don't even understand this, you know? Mm-hmm. She's like missing however much she has to, you know, so that her boobs don't explode. Let's be real. And I was like, I did it for 9 months. I feel ya. Like, you know what this mama was doing? She was from the West Coast. We're on the East Coast. And she got a freezer at the hotel and was freezing the milk to bring back.
Oh my God.
You want to talk dedication? Yes. That's the kind of thing you tell someone in an interview about how dedicated you are.
Oh, you know what I mean? I would have gave up. I'd be like, well, you're going to stop breastfeeding now.
And I was so vocal to her. And I was like, really loud. And other people in the bathroom too were. And because I think we need to, when we see things like that, we need to applaud them. You know, because she's probably feeling really uncomfortable sitting there just pumping as everyone's walking by her looking all cute, feeling horrible about herself. You know what I mean? The other thing is, I don't think you ever get that balance. I really don't. I think it's a constant ebb and flow. I am constantly feeling like I'm not good enough. I was just gone for 4 days. I'm not usually gone that long. And it happened to be my daughter's first day of preschool yesterday. Actually, second first day of preschool, like, because she goes to 2 years of preschool.
Okay, yep.
So it was the same school, same teacher, same thing. So it wasn't that big of a deal. But I still missed it. And I had to constantly be cognizant of not beating myself up. But what I have done, because I do work from home, is I've blocked my schedule out from 11 to 11:45, because I leave here at 11 and I pick her up from preschool at 11:15. And so Monday through Thursday, nothing gets booked, because I said, you know what? I work from home and this is one of the benefits I get to do. So I need to stand mama bear over my schedule at that time. My husband will bring her and then I'll pick her up. So it's just finding what works for you. Don't only compare yourself to yourself. Don't ever compare yourself to anybody else. Don't do that.
Don't do it. No,
it's not a good road to go down. Your tires will pop.
It's not. It just, you know, we are our biggest, you know, worst enemy, you know, and that's, getting over yourself and that negative self-talk and really finding, you know, that passion and, you know, find that balance. And I love that you said there is no balance, because each person's balance is different. What works for us is going to be different than what works for you. And I like that you said that you have to stand mama bear over your schedule, because I think that when you leave, whether you were in corporate or not in corporate, when you start your own business, you feel, for whatever reason, that that 8 to 5 mark, you know, Monday to Friday, 8 to 5, like, those are my hours. But that's not, you know, what happened. I mean, we have to leave here today. We have meet your teacher from 1 to 3. And
there you go.
So, you know, so it's those things of finding that balance and setting that schedule. So what tools and systems have you found to help create that schedule for yourself?
Amber, you are a terrific interviewer, and I'm so excited that your audience gets to listen to you, because you have a great flow and you've got great questions. Because right before you said that, I was like, ooh, I need to tell her about the Pomodoro method. Do you know what that is?
No, please share.
Okay. So I got John Lee Dumas's Mastery Journal. Okay. And I'll admit, I maybe filled out like 4 pages, but what I learned from that is the Pomodoro method. And it'll work amazing for moms. So it's, you work hard for 45 minutes. So you take a 15-minute break. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. But listen, this is where it gets really juicy. in this mastery journal, you set out, okay, this first session, I'm going to work on this email sequence, right? And at the end, you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, how focused you were, and a scale of 1 to 10, how productive you were. The thing is that us, especially as women, where we have all these windows open in our brain, and we are sometimes fully capable of doing more than one thing at once, right?
Yes.
Maybe not 100%. But what this teaches us is to be like our male counterparts, which can only really focus on one thing at a time. And I guess one thing. And it's difficult. It's very, very difficult. But when I have a lot of stuff coming up, that's what I do. I turn off my notifications, I turn off my phone, and I sit there and I try to get done that one thing. Sometimes I'll go to Starbucks. But the reason why I say, Amber, this is great for moms is because we often have these small chunks of time.
Yeah.
And so if we can say, okay, Olivia is going to be in school tomorrow from 8:30 to 11:15, and then I have to take over when she gets home, right? Maybe you don't have help or whatever.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I've got these 2.5 hours. How productive can I be?
Yep.
It's a rabbit hole. If you start going through email, if you start getting on Facebook, all of a sudden an hour and a half goes by and you have no idea what you did it. And all that time was spent helping other people, not yourself. Email is for other people. It's not for you.
Right.
So if you can be intentional the night before and say, okay, you know what? I can't do that 9 to 5, or I just don't have the time. But what I do is I can identify chunks of time in my schedule, and that's what I'm going to do. That's as simple as you got to go. You don't need any fancy apps or software or doohingies or thingamabobs.
Yeah.
Just focus yourself.
45 minutes.
And then that 15-minute break is important. That could be doing emails or something. Something that I did that's really helped me is I went to Costco. I got this standing desk that, if you're watching us right now, this desk is like up here on me and it can go all the way down low. And so it's really helped my energy and productivity because I was like really getting slouched and
right.
tight and stuff.
Oh.
So during those 15-minute breaks, you can sit there and do 15 squats just to get that blood flowing. You know,
yes.
I could lower this desk and sit on a medicine ball. There's just things that you just got to be intentional about it. And you've got to try.
Yes.
Many things, because you might horribly fail at what I'm saying. You probably will the first 10 times, because I did.
Yeah.
But I said, you know what? I know this. I believe in this. I'm going to make this work. But I've tried hundreds of other things too. And sometimes you go through just different seasons where something does work, but it doesn't. You have to become a professional failure.
Love it.
Word.
It's okay.
So become a professional failure, embrace it, be happy when you fail, and learn from your failures, because you are not going to win all the time. You're actually going to fail more than you're going to than you're going to lose. And if you can't have that mentality, I'm telling you, girl, right now, go back to the corporate job.
Yep.
But if you're willing to fail and you're willing to fail and learn, then quit that corporate job.
Yep. And it's so true, because that failure piece comes in at such a young age. I mean, my daughter just started, she's played 3 seasons of T-ball and she just moved up to softball. And last night she got invited to go practice with the big girls. And this was her first like practice, like first time on a softball field. And she was a runner. So there was girls hitting the ball and she was running the bases. And so she got to third while the girl had got her out. And but she was kind of running around the base and I was laughing at her because it was funny, but she started to cry and because she thought she did something wrong.
Yeah.
And she's the youngest girl out there. I mean, she's only 5 and everyone else was 8 and older. And so I I was like, you didn't do anything wrong. You have to learn from that. And failure is a good thing. I said, a little girl got out right after her. I said, that little girl just got out too. So embracing that failure is huge. And I think that you're so right. Like, we need to be okay with that, because that's the only way we're going to be able to elevate our businesses and grow. I mean, you have to.
What a beautiful mom story. That is so beautiful. And that's a great example of how to instill these awesome things into our daughters.
Yeah.
And sons, you know?
Yeah, totally. Okay. I have 2 questions for you.
Okay.
First one, what has been your biggest obstacle since you've owned your own business?
Uh-huh.
And what is one piece of advice that you would give to another mother thinking of starting a freelance business?
Okay. So the biggest obstacle is myself and my brain. And I cannot stress enough how important personal development is. And that means by absorbing and listening to as much awesome stuff as you can. And I don't know, do you guys have show notes or whatever? I could send you some ideas. So I'm on a huge kick of Rachel Hollis right now, author of Girl Wash Your Face. Obsessed with her. Like, watch her like Instagram stories, like read the book. She has another book coming out. Wait, let me say something. I don't read books because my brain goes elsewhere. I listen to books. I am one with my Audible account. And so that's what I do. Like, I put my earbuds in and maybe I'm cleaning the kitchen or maybe I'm driving. Every time I get in the car, I do not listen to CNN or Fox or any of those weirdos. Like, that's just asking for depression pills. Like, it's just really sad. Yeah. So I'm constantly feeding my brain. So Rachel Hollis, I love, if you feel like you're not, you want to do something, but you don't do it, you need to listen to Mel Robbins, The 5-Second Rule. Darren Hardy, The Compound Effect is also life-changing. And then it just kind of depends, I think, on what field you're in. But if it's social media and growing your business, I have to always recommend Social Media Examiner. Yeah. They've helped me and I'm part of the society and they're a great resource and a cool bunch of people. Like, they're very cool, like no drama, very knowledgeable, very helpful. So it kind of goes back to what we were saying at the beginning, get around people you can. And that would be my advice. The second part of your question, get around people that are quote unquote better than you, you know, people that are at a level that you want to be at and get out of your own way and embrace failure. Failure is not bad. Failure is actually good. And when you succeed, yeah, that's good, but you don't really learn much from it. Like, you learn more from your failures. So
I love it. So if people are interested in learning more about you, your speaking engagements, how can they connect with you?
So formally, you can go to bellavasta.com, be like in Victor, ASTA. If you, by some chance, happen to have a pet sitting and dog walking company, you can go to jumpconsulting.net. But what I'd really love for you to do is just reach out to me on Facebook and let's become Facebook friends. And tell me when I reply back and say, thanks to the friend request, what inspired you to connect? Tell me that you heard this episode and go ahead and tell Amber, post and reshare this and tell her what your biggest takeaway was. Let her know that all this time and energy she's doing to scheduling, recording, and producing these podcasts for you, you amazing mompreneur listeners, that you're getting something out of it. And go ahead and feel free to encourage Amber too.
Thank you so much, Bella. I am so happy you're on today. Thank you. You have such an amazing story. And moms, you're not alone. I mean, we all have our stories. We all have our moments. So let's support each other and let's thrive. So if you have questions about starting your freelance business or if you're actually ready to take that leap, check out Social Speak Network. We're here for you. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Bella.